everyone. This is Sam Black with Drafting Archetypes. And this week, I'm going to be discussing red-green tricks in MKM Draft. So, as always, the notes are available to follow along at patreon.com/draftingarchetypes. And full disclosure, I am coming off of a draft where I tried following this exactly and it didn't go well. I went 1-3 in the draft. I think that some of that was how I played. It was some close games, and this was inspired, like, that was after I worked everything out, and this was inspired by some drafts that I did earlier that did go pretty well. So I still mostly believe in this way to draft the deck, but it's certainly, you know, not like a recipe for a deck that can never lose or anything. I just need to get that out as far as, you know, where I'm coming from getting into this. Anyway, on 17 lands, red-green has an exactly average win rate, which puts it below average among two-color decks. The deck that I'm going to be discussing today is not the aggregate red-green deck. It is not, like, it's doing a thing that is different enough that I would not recommend assuming that any stats that apply to aggregate red-green decks would apply to this, and especially I wouldn't try to integrate this strategy into drafting according to the win rates of cards on 17 lands in red-green in general. This deck is a deck that I come back to across various formats. One example of another time when I covered something very similar was green-white in Crimson Vow. I think that was the one with training. Yeah, that was the one with training. Where the theoretical set mechanic training wasn't very good and, like, wasn't really supported. And if you tried to draft around it, your deck was bad. And so instead, I just applied my general low curve tricks aggro filter to drafting green white. And I think that this is a basic structure that you can apply in any format and color combination where there's a sufficient density of playable one mana creatures and good combat tricks. This kind of map or skeleton or prescription or whatever for a deck is something that I just am generally open to in a way that's format agnostic, but happens to work well in this format for a few different reasons. First, because of disguise, the creatures that are trying to block against your early attackers are a little bit below rate. They're often 3-mana 2/2s, and if you're using combat tricks instead of removal, you don't care about ward. Also, the pressure to draft multiple colors means that some of the decks are a little bit slower, a little bit further behind, which makes it a little bit easier to go under them. Also, most of the other aggro decks in the format are white-based, and a lot of the white-based aggro decks are trying to go wide with cards like Seasoned Consultant, the 1/3 that gets +2/+0 if you have Battalion, and Karlov Watchdog, the uncommon 3/2, also Battalion type card, and On the Job, the instant that pumps all of your creatures. And the fact that they have all of these kind of like go wide cards means that they don't really want to trade and they don't play very well on the back foot. So if you can get under them and start attacking so they have to block, their cards aren't as good at doing that, and their cards like end up not working quite as well as they're supposed to. So I think that it's reasonable to beat the other aggro decks by going just like a little bit under them and forcing them off of their wide game. And then finally, the tricks in red and green in this format are better than they are in most formats. Like, specifically, Fanatical Strength, yet another Predator Strike reprint with a different name, among the best tricks that can exist for this kind of deck, as far as reprints of tricks that have existed before. And then also, Get a Leg Up is a very, that's the one mana plus X, where X is the number of creatures you control, and Reach. That's just a very pushed, good rate, strong green trick. And then the red tricks in this format, I think, are considerably better than average. Felonious Rage is pretty good, plays very well here. Felonious Rage is the +2/+0 haste, and when the creature dies, make a detective. And then the Chase is on is +3/+0 first strike investigate for 3. The Chase is on is quite a bit better than the normal like sure strike kindled whatever fury, like the normal red tricks that give first strike and some extra power. I think Chase is on is better than them. I think the one extra mana for the clue is pretty good. So you have a format that is pretty vulnerable to like trying to go under it, and you have above average tricks, and then also you can draft to a very low curve and get like free late game with some of the more expensive disguise creatures, and that makes it a little bit harder to flood out. And that's like another strength that this deck has that it wouldn't have in other formats. So I think just kind of applying this general map and structure to this deck works pretty well in terms of the unique aspects of this format generally favor rather than punishing this deck. So that's kind of how I'm approaching this. Now getting into like the numbers and the details of like which cards you're looking for. I ideally want 4 to 6 one mana creatures. That's a little bit hard to get because your only real options are Frantic Scapegoat, the haste suspect that can give suspect something else at uncommon for red, and then 2 commons, Rubble Belt Maverick and Goblin Maskmaker. The only other one mana red or green creature is Hedge Whisperer, which you don't really want in this deck. Your spells are too cheap to be good at turning on Collect Evidence, and what you're trying to do is just curve out creatures with power and attack with them so that your opponent can't block all of them, and you can use tricks on the ones they do block and your other ones push damage, and Hedge Whisperer isn't pushing any damage. There is one exception, one time when I might want Hedge Whisperer, which is the slimy version of this deck, which I hope to remember to talk about later. Because you would like 4 to 6 one mana creatures, and there are only 2 commons and 1 uncommon that work, you want to prioritize them very highly. Next up, you want 2 drops. I think you want at least 8 total 1 and 2 mana creatures, with at least 5 2 mana creatures. Like, even if you have 6 1 mana creatures, you still probably want 5 2 mana creatures, but you probably don't need more than that. Also, all of these numbers are, you know, rough and made up. It's not like I have actual like science or math or anything behind this, so feel free to, you know, it's a do your best and a little bit of wiggle room, but these are some kind of like targets to have in mind when you have options. Also, if you have 2 or more mask makers, then you can play disguised creatures as 2 drops some portion of the time. So you can kind of think of some of them as being in the 2 drop slot in your curve. The more mask makers you have, the more you can get away with doing that. And of course, if you just have Nervous Gardener, then it works either way. And if you have a mask maker draw, then your Nervous Gardener is a morphed 2 drop. And if you don't, then it's a face up 2 drop. And either one of those is functional. Among the 2 mana creatures, there are 3 rares. They're all great. If you see a 2 mana rare in red green, you probably want it over anything else in the pack. Outside of that, Reckless Detective, the 0/3 that can discard a card or sack an artifact to draw a card and get +2 power when it attacks, is the best of them. Followed by Red Herring, the 2/2 haste. Followed by Nervous Gardener. There's the 2/2 that you can morph and turn face up to get a land. Vengeful Tracker is the 2/2 that makes your opponent lose 2 life when they sacrifice an artifact. You want, basically you're just looking for power, then toughness, then other stuff, So, and I mean, like, red herring is better than grizzly bear, right? Like, the trade-off of must attack to get haste and being a clue is significantly better than not having that. So red herring is better than gardener and tracker. Gardener's ability is a larger upgrade to grizzly bear than tracker is. After tracker, there's, like, the 2-1s tunnel tipster and the 1-3. The 2-1s are, like, indistinguishably different, and you'd prefer a 2-2 because there are a decent number of 1-power creatures, and you want to be able to attack and not use a trick to get over a 1-1, like, a 1-power creature. But it's fine if you have to play some 2-1s to have, like, enough 2-drops. Tunnel Tipster, like, if you have a bunch of morphs, it's fine, but it's not, like, generally your priority, but the more morphs you have, like, it can become a priority. And then, like, the 1-3s are playable filler. As far as disguise creatures, I think they're largely interchangeable, and it doesn't matter very much which ones you have. Greenbelt Radical is pretty good. That's the uncommon 4/4 that pumps, that when it flips for 7, it puts +1/+1 counters on all your creatures and gives them trample. I don't really expect to get 7 mana very often, but it's like being able to play it as a 4/4 is nice. And then among commons, I think Nervous Gardener is the highest priority just because it's a 2-drop. And then outside of that, you're mostly interested in Offender at Large and Dogwalker as the ones that are like better than others. But it's all pretty close. And, you know, you're basically just like filling out your deck with disguised creatures, but they're never really the priority. As far as tricks, I want to have between 5 and 7 tricks. And I want to have a mix of Get a Leg Up, Fanatical Strength, Felonious Rage, and The Chase is On. And then if I don't have enough tricks from among those, it's okay to also play Airtight Alibi, but it's worse than the others. And I would prefer to only have like 1 or 2 3 mana tricks and more of the cheaper ones if possible, but it's not always possible. I want tricks over removal spells, but like Shock, Galvanize, and Bite Down are all playable. And if I already have 1 or 2 3 mana tricks, then I'd probably prioritize removal spells over more of the 3 mana tricks just to not be too clunky. Somewhat curve dependent, depends on like how many 3 and 2 mana creatures you have and stuff. And then there are a few other like removal spells that exist. I think Torch, the red X uncommon, is very good. Like it's better than all the common removal spells and probably better than tricks most of the time. Hard hitting whatever, the green 1-mana removal spell where you like hit with a creature, that might be better than all the tricks, or at least like better than the non get a leg up tricks, just because it's 1 mana and can kill bigger creatures. So it like the removal's not bad, but tricks are generally better because they're generally cheaper, and the deck is really designed to punish disguise creatures, and tricks are much better at that than removal spells are. But you also want a low curve. So like, basically, if you have 5 or more tricks, then you need 15 or more creatures for your deck to be functional. And so you can't cut creatures for removal spells, and you don't want to cut tricks for removal spells unless the removal spells are like cheaper than the tricks, basically. So the only time where I'm going to prioritize removal is, you know, you can play a couple removal spells in general as long as you hit that 15 creature line. If I just don't see enough tricks, or too many of the tricks that I see are 3 mana, then I'll add removal instead. I'm not attached to having 17 lands. If I think that my deck can get away with 15 or 16 lands, I'm happy to cut lands. You can't do that as much if you have more morphs that need 5 mana, and if you, you know, don't have as many like 1 and 2 mana plays as you'd like, it can be hard. But you know, when things go well, you would usually like to play fewer lands. Your goal is to like curve out and hit attack all every turn and double spell as soon as possible. And I guess like thinking for people who are watching the draft that I did earlier today that like basically followed this but ended up being a weak version, I think what happened is, you know, I had 3 1-drops where, like I said, I want 4 to 6, and I had 7 tricks, but four of them, I think, where the chase is on, and it was just a little bit too clunky across the board. My curve looked pretty low because I didn't have anything that required more than three mana, but it really wanted more one and two mana plays. So that's, I think, you know, a failure state to watch out for. So it's not terrible if you have to play a like the 3/3 for four that makes a clue, or Person of Interest, the 3 in a red 2/2 that makes another 2/2. I wouldn't prioritize either of those because I do really want to just curve out, but I think either of them are acceptable, like, top end to play. I think Pompous Gadabout and Sample Collector, two 3-mana uncommon green creatures, are generally better than Disguise creatures unless you have two or more Mask Makers, and then it's probably back to you'd prefer Disguise creatures to those. And then the other, like, interesting card to consider for the deck is Slime Against Humanity. The appeal of Slime Against Humanity, first, is that it has trample naturally. So even, you know, if you just have one Slime Against Humanity and you cast it, instead of having the ability to turn your creature over, you have trample. Generally, the ability to turn your creature over is better than trample, but if you have, like, a lot of tricks and don't have fanatical strength, then you might actually value trample pretty highly. I would still not really want to play only one Slime Against Humanity, but if you get four plus slimes, then it's not hard for them to be better than disguised creatures. And notably, if you have a lot of Mask Makers, then you don't want slimes because you want disguised creatures. If you have a lot of Mavericks, then you might get to mill a slime and make your other slimes better. So if you have, I could see a deck with, like, three Mavericks and four slimes being a very strong way to do this archetype. And then the more slimes you have, and the more Mavericks, but these work together, the more you can start playing the collect evidence stuff. Your sample collectors get better. The 1/3 reach collect evidence 6 detective becomes, like, an acceptable card to play. Bite downs get a lot easier to use, and you can even potentially play Hedge Whisperer if you're far enough down this path. So I think that it's worth tracking slimes early in the draft to see if you can plan to, like, table one of them somewhere. It's also worth speculatively taking slimes kind of in the middle of pack one to see if you can collect, like, I think at three you could consider playing it, and at four or more it's probably pretty good. And then again, which one drops you have heavily inform whether you want to try to go that direction. And as this is all happening, you can, move further and further into this package of collect evidence, mill, and slimes. But I suspect, you know, most of the time, like, you know, maybe 5-10% of red-green decks are actually going to do the slime thing, but it is something to, like, be aware of. Like, there's just enough upside here to keep it in mind and potentially try to do it. And that's what I have to say about this archetype, as far as, you know, absent answering questions. This is, you know, as I said, basically just applying a, like, deck map, like, structure that I have from other formats that I kind of invented for myself in drafting Mirrodin Darksteel 20 years ago. And it just comes up from time to time after that. So I'm going to turn it over to chat for questions. And this is the point where I thank the newest patrons. Unfortunately for me, no new patrons this week, but that's all right. We keep on and appreciate the existing patrons. And if anyone else is interested in joining the Drafting Archetypes Patreon, check out patreon.com/draftingarchetypes. Usually you don't want to splash, that's correct, because it's an aggressive deck, but any card that's worth it, like perhaps the Mythic Izzet Vehicle. So, you know, you can't play like a 16 land deck with 7 mountains and 7 forests and 2 islands and put an Uzit vehicle in your deck and pretend everything's fine. But if you have, you know, 2 plus Nervous Gardeners, maybe like a rare land and an escape tunnel, then like I could see the mana being realistic. As far as like which cards, you know, any kind of like, well, so like for one thing, if you get Aurelia's Vindicator, you should just splash it. Like, doesn't matter, even if you are just playing like 1 planes and basic, like, you know, maybe you're 17 lands, 8/8/1 with a single planes, and you just put Vindicator in your deck because, you know, if you end up in a board stall somehow or whatever, then like you get to do the thing, you win the game. So, like, certainly very low downside, very high upside disguise creatures are like the easiest, yes, of course, splash that type cards. Mythic Izzet Vehicle, I don't have experience with. Certainly a lot of upside, plays really well with the tricks. I'd certainly be open to trying that out if you had the ability to like support it realistically without going too far out of your way. Izzoni is another one where it's like, yeah, it's wildly off plan, but if you have a couple of Nervous Gardeners, why would you not put it in your deck? It's just so strong. Yeah, I think the answer is basically like, you're a 2-color aggro deck, so you don't want to splash. Like, you're obviously not going to splash a removal spell. You barely want to play the removal spells that are in your colors. And you're not going to splash some kind of like generic 2-for-1. But any like true bombs, like, yeah, it's probably worth finding a way. In the early turns, if you get a chance to trade creatures or win a combat with a trick but not develop the board, how do you weigh that decision? Your goal is to have the best board that you can, right? Like, you want to get ahead as fast as possible, and you also want to push damage. So if you have a 2-2 and they have a 2-2, and you have the chases on and a morph, and you attack and they block, I would usually just trade and play the morph, because the 2-2 that I have in play isn't better than the morph in play, and the clue isn't affecting the board. And like, I'm going to get the clue later. That's not really a concern. It's the same thing, and it's a fanatical strength, and I can push 3 damage. I'm still going to play the morph because it spends my mana more efficiently. And I figure I'm going to get at least the 3 damage, or that in value, later anyway. In general, I think the answer is just, you're trying to optimize for spending your mana as efficiently as possible and passing the turn with the like most power and toughness, or like best board presence you can. And just ask yourself which play best accomplishes those goals. There are some spots where you have to make a decision about whether you should like attack and plan to play a trick, or not attack and play a creature. Like, if I have a 2-1 and my opponent has a 1-3, if I attack and they block, I'm forced to play the trick, and then I don't get to play the creature. And so, like, often it would be better to play the creature because the creature is better than my 2-1. And so, like, I'd rather end the game with the creature in play. In that spot, it's reasonable to not attack and just play the creature. But if you think there's a decent chance that your opponent won't block, then you might want to attack anyway. Hope they don't block and you push damage and then play the creature. And if they do block, play your trick. Making that decision, you have to figure out how likely it is that, like, you think that they will not block, and how much better it is to play the creature, and it can go either way. Next up, do I count Case of the Trampled Garden towards my trick count? Yes, in that part of the trick count is cards that require creatures to be in play in order to use them. Like, you can't really count it toward your... Like, the deck is mana, creatures, and tricks. So, Case the Trampled Garden isn't mana, and it isn't a creature. So it's a trick. Removal spells are basically also in the trick space. So, like, basically, by default, the deck is creatures, mana, and tricks. And anything that isn't creature or mana has to come from the tricks space. Usually you want tricks, but there are acceptable other cards that can, like, occupy that space. But, like, the you need at least 15 lands and at least 15 creatures part is immutable. Usually you need 17 lands. So that leaves you with, like, 8 flex slots. And usually at least 5 of those are tricks. And so then you get 3 cards that are additional tricks, additional creatures, removal, or trampled garden type stuff. Did I discuss how interested this deck is in playing 3-mana 2/2 ward to play something that beats that stat line? Yeah, I mean, so I think that Gadabout and Sample Collector are better than Disguised Creatures. Slime is better than Disguised Creatures in the circumstances that I talked about. And for the most part, like, I'd rather play a Disguised Creature most of the time than play, like, an Artifact Destroying Monkey or something. And then the more Mask Makers you have, the more you lean toward Disguised Creatures instead of the other stuff. Would Hustle Bustle have some use in this deck? Yeah, so Hustle Bustle is playable, especially if you're playing 17 lands. And especially if your morphs are more of the, like, expensive ones. Especially if you are a little bit lower on tricks and have, like, a few extra creatures. Or, like, if you end up playing Person of Interest or something. I see Hustle Bustle as not a priority early in the draft, but a playable card that some versions of the deck can prioritize. Especially if you end up wanting to play multiple Dogwalkers. The red-green archetype seems to be big morphs. Would you still go lower curve with tricks in general? So the deck that I'm talking about, red-green tricks, I see as a different archetype than the deck that Wizards claims to have put into the set in, like, the red-green archetype slot that is big morphs. The deck that I'm talking about drafting is not that deck. This is not a deck that, like, cares a lot about Tunnel Tipster and Tin Street Gossip and the Hellion, Riftburst Hellion and stuff like that. Tin Street Gossip is playable in this deck as a 4-mana 4/4 vigilance that sometimes gives you some mana or whatever, but this is a very, very specific approach to this deck that is not, like, you shouldn't expect that your opponent, that people you play against who are playing red-green have this mindset. Like, this is a unique and somewhat, this is its own thing. As far as, like, the red-green archetype seems to be this, would I still do this? Like, yes, I am recommending drafting this way in a format where Wizards is advertising big morphs. But I would not conflate these two archetypes. I would draft this deck as its own thing. And if you end up, like, drafting, you know, Tunnel Tipster, Tin Street Gossip, and Yaris, and as many morphs as you can find, that's just a different deck. Does this archetype take Bolrak Clan Basher highly? No. I think that Bolrak Clan Basher, the 3/2 double strike trampler, which, you know, does play well with tricks, but is also fragile and expensive to unmorph and, like, pretty hard to flip it over and play a trick in the same turn, and you can't really expect to untap with it after you flip it over. I think it's not a priority, and I think it's worse than Offender at Large, but I think it's, you know, a playable generic morph. What's my opinion on World Soul's Rage in red-green? Again, maybe the other deck would want it. This deck has absolutely no interest in that card. This is the optimal home for Rope. but how did I feel about it in red green? I would like, I'm not interested in rope or knife in this deck. It, as I mentioned, this is an archetype that I originally first started drafting personally in Mirrodin Darksteel, which is the block that introduced equipment. And the equipment in that block was much better than most equipment that was printed in the 15 to 20 years after. And the creatures and other cards were generally radically worse than the creatures that have been printed in the last 10 to 15 years. Even in that context, I did not want to play equipment. Like, Bone Splitter was a card that people generally took very, very highly and saw as a really important card in aggro decks. But I was not looking to play Bone Splitter in my Trix aggro decks, because it was a card that needed you to have creatures that only let a single creature attack, and often that creature would just trade with a blocker because my creatures were mostly 1/1s. So I would rather have a trick than a Bone Splitter, because the trick would let me attack with all of my creatures instead of just one, and push damage instead of like not pushing damage. And Bone Splitter mostly just like put me down a card in any sort of spot where my opponent could make the game about attrition. So if the equipment in Mirrodin wasn't good enough for me to want it over Trix, I'm certainly not about to play rope and knife over Trix in this archetype. All right, so seems to be the questions that we have. And again, I do think that this is a very kind of like straightforward deck. Very, very well explored at this point. I pretty much know what I'm looking for when I try to draft this kind of deck, regardless of format. But as I mentioned, I do think that it's particularly well suited to this format. I don't think that it's something that, you know, you should plan to force or anything, but I do think that it's a good one to keep an eye on, especially if you are in a draft where you seem to be where it looks likely that you're going to be able to get some cheap tricks and creatures late. I see one last question about Rebel Belt Braggart, the 5-mana 5/5 that can suspect itself when it attacks. You don't really want to play 5-mana cards. Like, you're trying to curve out and go like smaller and faster than that. If you, you know, like, but you also have to have 15 creatures. And if you can only find 14 playable aggressive creatures and like your deck wants to play 17 lands, like, that card is not like a disaster. It's just not going to help you curve out, which is the most important thing. All right. That's it for real. Thanks everyone for listening. I will be back next week with another archetype, and I don't know anything else about what that'll be just yet. So have a good week, and I will be back next week. Bye for now.
Prepare for light speed.